Contrary to popular belief, happy hour isn't always at 4 p.m. Tuesdays on 1500 ESPN. It's right now. Your glass is empty. Pull right back up to the bar and tell us what you're having. The wine and spirits are flowing for 1500 ESPN's Happy Hour, presented in part by MGM Wine and Spirits. Now here's your host and official bartender for the show, Rookie.
All right, indeed it is. It is Happy Hour right now on 1500 ESPN. We are broadcasting courtesy of MGM Wine and Spirits. Normally here at this time, Mr. Jeffrey Abbott is here from MGM Wine and Spirits, but he's taking a little vacation, so he's allowing Reavers and me, the rookie, to interview wonderful guests, and today is no exception. We have Mr. Adam Harris. He is the bourbon ambassador for the Beam family of American whiskeys. That's a long name tag, is it not?
It's a really long name tag, but best job in the world sounds like bragging on a business card, so they made me put something on there.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the Jim Beam family of products goes obviously way back.
Oh, yes.
We're going to start in Happy Hour here. We're just a casual get-together, and we love having guests like you, the ambassadors, the experts, that know exactly what's going on in the world of bourbons, spirits, etc. I'm just going to start right out with it. Give me a little history of Jim Beam.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we have the luxury of having about 220 years of bourbon-making heritage under the name Jim Beam. We go back seven generations to our founder, Jacob Beam, who in 1795 rolled his first barrel of whiskey out in Kentucky. His son continued on with that trade, and his grandson, David M., who really kind of took it into what would become an industry, moving the distillery closer to a railroad where we could export our whiskey to such exotic lands as Ohio and Indiana from Kentucky, you know.
All right, if I may interrupt then right there, what were they doing prior to? But before, okay, David M. got it. What did the other two prior, what did they were just local and it was just...
It was more of a commodity-based trade, sort of one of those things that just sort of in the immediate area in Kentucky and the surrounding neighborhoods and villages, towns, they would be able to share the whiskey with and trade for this and that.
And then David starts scratching his head going,
Let's make this a little bit bigger. But he was a bit more of an entrepreneur, I suppose.
Okay, then David takes it large.
That's right. And then his son, Jim Beam, is actually the gentleman that's really responsible for making the name that everybody knows now. At the time, Jacob and the whiskey that his offspring made was under the name of Old Tub or Old Jake Beam. And it wasn't until that fourth generation with Jim Beam who got to take over the family business just in time for Prohibition and the Depression and things like that.
Timing is everything.
Yeah, exactly, right? But it was when he reopened the distillery after Prohibition, named it Jim Beam, and we began as you know it today.
I did not know that. I would have assumed... See, you learn more here by accident than elsewhere by design.
That's right.
I would assume that Jim Beam was the original label, but so Old Tub?
Yeah, Old Tub.
What happened to Old Tub?
They
quit making it?
We don't make it anymore. We actually, if you make it to our distillery, you will. And our distillery is in Claremont, Kentucky, just about 35 minutes south of Louisville, if you fly into Louisville, and you'll be able to buy a fun bottle of Old Tub whiskey.
Okay, so
and that's
just,
only on site, though.
That's
right?
only on site. Yeah. Kind of, I like to call those bottles Easter eggs. You know, you gotta go out looking for them and find them in hidden places. But
that's distillery. That would be something that would be a cool gift for the Jim Beam fan in your life.
Well, absolutely. And maybe next time I'm up here, we'll have a little.
I like that
tub.
Idea. Yeah. You see that? Because Rookie, we're good friends now with the bourbon ambassador for Jim Beam.
Well, that's a really good. In fact, even though his business card is very long, it's a good card to have.
His card, ladies and gentlemen, looks like a bumper sticker. That's how big his business card.
I break for bourbon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I love that.
What brought you to Jim Beam?
Well,
a little history of yourself.
You, it's a heck of a serendipitous. It was really serendipity. I was a bartender up in New York. I lived in New York for about 10 years, and I was bartending up there. And I was a big bourbon fan. Okay. And so when people would come to my bar, they'd say, what should I have? Make me a fancy cocktail. And it was going to be a bourbon-based cocktail, usually using Maker's Mark, which is one of our brands from our sister distillery over in Loretto, Kentucky. Or it was a Knob Creek cocktail or Jim Beam Black, one of my personal favorites. And so we'd have those whiskeys together and, you know, hey, Adam, let's have a drink together. You know, let me buy you a shot. Of course, we're going to do a little bourbon together. And
right.
So
yeah.
When the Beam family wanted somebody working in the New York market, they asked me if I wanted to work for them. And I cited as the only time that my reputation caught up to me in a good way, as a matter of fact.
You know, that's a good point, though. I love that. I use this term a lot, but you almost Forrest Gump your way into something.
That's right. No, it's very serendipitous. I was a very lucky man.
Yeah, you're in the right place at the right time.
That's exactly right. Drinking the right thing.
Where's home for you?
I'm a native Texan, actually.
Okay.
But I've been working for these Kentucky distilleries for about 10 years. I consider it my second home. And about 4 or 5 years ago, the governor of the state of Kentucky, Mr. Beshears, he bestowed the honor of a Kentucky colonelship upon me. So I'm nice. In.
That's another business card you've got to have.
That's a totally different business card.
Are we saluting him now?
I think we have to.
I'm the JROTC guy. You know, I got to make sure we got proper respect here.
There you go. Yeah.
So they pull you out of New York. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a whole other segment for a New York bartender. Oh, I can't imagine how much fun that was.
It was a great time.
Well, let's talk about that later because we got to stay on.
Let's stay focused.
Stay on brand new.
Right.
Exactly. One question I have for you, and we're talking to Adam Harris, who is the bourbon ambassador for the Jim Beam family of American whiskeys.
There you go.
And you're listening to Happy Hour here on 1500 ESPN, brought to you by MGM Wine and Spirits. The Jim Beam name has a huge, long history. Now, you have guys, being a bartender, mm-hmm. you've had people come in and say, I want a Jim Beam shot, or I want to put a little glass or ice cube in it. How do you distinguish at Jim Beam between the old school, what's true and tied, what do we call that?
Tested and true?
Time-tested,
yeah.
A radio guy with a tongue twister can't really. How do you separate what works and what is new? Because there's a 25-year-old, 30-year-old. You know, the craft brew movement mm-hmm. is on fire right mm-hmm. now. So I don't care whether you're a vodka, gin, or a bourbon. Mm-hmm. You need to keep up with these young kids that want something new.
Sure.
How do you keep those separate, and what's R&D for Jim Beam?
Well, we're fortunate enough to have our seventh-generation master distiller still at the head of our operation. So we have Jim Beam's great-grandson still making our whiskey and still kind of at the head of those decisions.
Oh, cool.
Now, he travels the world. He gets to see what everybody's doing. He gets to sample cocktails from all over the place and see trends that are happening in different parts of the country and, like I said, globally. And so, obviously, having the DNA that he has, mm-hmm. tradition is huge.
Right.
Tradition's everything for us,
right.
family,
right.
heritage. Having our processes be the way that they have been for as long as they have been as far as our production goes. That's very important, but it's also important to pay attention to what's happening out there because, 20 years ago, we weren't experiencing this wonderful bourbon revolution the way that we are now. You know, you probably have to twist a lot of arms to get somebody to try an American whiskey, right? Everybody mm-hmm. was into single malt scotches
right,
and that
right.
sort of thing and drinking a ton of gin and vodka. So as we've gotten back into vogue over the last 10, 15 years in this renaissance that I'm calling it, people are interested in trying new things. You know, it's not just your stalwarts that are the older mm-hmm. guys that have always drank the whiskey, but now you have not just young men, but also young women that are drinking whiskey too. So you got to kind of stay on top of the game, whether that's through some of our flavors, like our Red Stag Black Cherry. We were the innovator in that category. If you want to talk about our honey or our new Kentucky Fire, which is a cinnamon flavored whiskey, which is doing incredibly well for us right now, that's a way to bring people in the fold. But for the people that are a little bit more established bourbon drinkers like ourselves in this room, gentlemen, mm-hmm. we do continue to offer new things. And I brought a sample of our single barrel bourbon
today. I've been looking at that bottle since you sat it down on the counter.
I can smell it already.
You were mentioning this, and being a heritage brand like Jim Beam is, there's that fine line you have to walk, isn't it? And don't correct me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. but you have to be careful. While you want to keep up with modern trends, you also don't want to, make the fans of your product that have been fans forever, you don't want to make those guys mad either.
That's right. That's right. And I think we do a really good job of that. I mean, we offer anywhere of upwards of 30 to 40 American whiskeys between
wow.
our, really inherently bourbon products like our flagship Jim Beam White, our small batch bourbons. You know, we are the innovators of the small batch category with Booker, who is our sixth generation master distiller, Jim Beam's grandson. He created the small batch category with his namesake Booker's Bourbon, Baker's,
Basil Hayden.
That's
the one that's beautiful in that nice little, it's the tall one in the box.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
That's very good. I've sampled that many times.
Really kind of the quintessential bourbon in a way because it's uncut, unfiltered. It's right out of the barrel. Nothing goes into it. We don't filter it.
Ruck, stop drooling, please.
Yeah.
I love that crate. And that's, again, every time we have a guest in here, the marketing of the bottles, or you put the Booker in a crate and put the little seal on it. It's very attractive on the shelf,
sure.
and you're getting a quality product.
Well, I think it's a nice package is always important. Pretty packages are good, but it's always for us. It's really about the bourbon that's inside the bottle, and we always want to make sure that we are not overselling with a package what our bourbon can't back up. And so for us, what's inside the bottle is the most important.
You said 30 to 40 different types?
Just about, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so. Amazing. I guess, you know, I've known Jim Beam's been around forever, but mm-hmm. I never would have guessed 30 to 40.
Oh, yeah. No, we have a wide variety of whiskeys in the portfolio between the flagship, like I said, going into, you know, we have some of the old tried and trues, names like Old Crow, Old Overholt, Old Granddad, which is one of my favorites and really kind of becoming yes. a little bit of a darling amongst mm-hmm. the bartender community mm-hmm. All over the country. Great, great whiskey that has a heritage of its own. You know, to the small batch, as I said, and we continue to innovate with our signature craft series that started last year with our 12-year-old release, a Spanish brandy finish, which has been pretty popular. And this year we're going to be releasing a quarter cask, which is a really cool process. A little bit of a little note that we took from our friends over at Laphroaig and the distillery over in Islay, Scotland. They've done a quarter cask, and we're doing things a little bit differently here domestically for that process, but it's yielding some pretty cool juice.
What's the difference between a quarter cask?
So a quarter cask.
Talk about that
difference.
Sure.
So a traditional bourbon barrel is about 53 gallons. Okay. A quarter cask is going to be brought down to less than half that size, okay. really kind of a retrofitted smaller barrel. And this was a way for people back in the day with smaller carts to take whiskey to the next place to transport okay. that whiskey was by going through a quarter cask system. What we find by putting bourbon in a quarter cask or any sort of whiskey in a quarter cask is going to be enhancing the wood flavors and the wood sugars that influence the overall flavor of the whiskey once it's finally aged.
All right, well, listen,
Rook's going to take a timeout so he can wipe the drool off of his mouth talking about this bourbon.
I'm going to take the cap off that thing. I'm not going to have a sip, but I'm going to smell it because it's going to smell delicious. You are listening to the Happy Hour on 1500 ESPN. Our special guest today, Adam Harris. He is the bourbon ambassador for the Jim Beam family of American whiskeys, and he has much more to discuss here. Rookie and Reavers, the Happy Hour on 1500 ESPN, brought to you by MGM Wine and Spirits. We'll be right back. You're not going anywhere.